opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Happy to be back with you again for yet another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Had a lot of fun this week doing the show. And in addition, I'm kind of doing double duty now. I've got and I urge you to check this out. In Jeffersontown, the chamber is one of the most active, vibrant business chambers that there is in the city. And they have started a J-Town podcast with me, the J-Town Chamber podcast. The second episode aired this week. I urge you to go over there and take a look. You can find it at on LouisvilleKY.com or through Facebook or through Louisville.am. It's all those things. It's a great, great show modeled a lot after this one. So I wanted to tell you about that and tell you about this show, which is about the most interesting people in the Ville. And I try not to ever disappoint, and I certainly have not this week. I have in the second part of the show, the toll lady is coming. The toll lady is Mindy Peterson, and Mindy's job is to go around town and educate you and me and everyone else about what the tolls are going to be like when they come later this year on the new Lincoln Bridge, the other bridge, the Kennedy Bridge downtown, and the new one that is not open yet out in the East End. Those bridges are going to be tolled. So be prepared and try to have a better attitude than I do about it, because as you'll hear in my conversation with Mindy, I'm not a big fan of having to pay tolls. Mindy sort of is in a reasonable way explains what it's all about. All right. But first up, I'm going to have Michael Reedy, and it is St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're listening to this on the day it comes out, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. It's a big day of celebration, a big day of drinking, quite frankly, around town and eating. And Michael is he's the number one Irish personality in this city. And he and I had a really fun conversation. You'll be interested to know how he came to come to Louisville and start the Irish Rover right down there in Clifton on Frankfort Avenue. It's a great place, and you can it's the place where in town you get things like Scotch eggs and bangers and mash and other Irish dishes, and a lot of attention is focused on that, of course, here on St. Patrick's Day. You can see a little video I did with Michael on Facebook as well. But first, let's take a moment and just talk about my sponsor. The Eye Care Institute is one of my favorite places. I've gotten my eyes examined there. I've gotten my contacts there, and I've gotten some counseling there. And I'm still thinking about it, but we're talking about doing some LASIK treatment. And the way to find out whether you're eligible or not is to go down there and talk to the folks at Eye Care Institute. You can give them a call at 502-589-1500. That's 502-589-1500. And for the Eye Care Institute, and they'll tell you what you got to do to get qualified and find out if you're a candidate for LASIK. And as Mark Prussian talked to me about, it has something to do, you know, they'll give you some straight up advice regarding whether it's right for you at your age and the condition of your eyes. So keep that in mind with our friends at the Eye Care Institute. All right, let's get on with the show. Michael Reedy, welcome me down to the Irish Rover Wednesday morning. And there's always something going on. He talks about it being a family place, and there are just a lot of characters around. And as you'll hear in the interview, we got interrupted a few times. The mailman came. One of his employees came in, but Michael just keeps going, and he's got a bundle of energy and has some great ideas about the neighborhood, and he loves what he's doing. And that's one of the great things about you want to hang around with people who just have such enthusiasm for what they're doing. Michael's one of those people. Here's our interview on the Rusty Satellite Show.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And I am at the Irish Rover today with Louisville's most famous Irishman, right? Michael Reedy, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Rossi. How are you doing there, brother? I'm looking forward to this. This is like my Christmas pudding, you know?
I tell you, I'm the only one here that has a green shirt on, but I guess you've got one ready for tomorrow.
Oh, trust me. I'm just touching up my body pad.
Now, tell me a little bit about the Irish Rover, because, you know, I learned about it probably in 1996 or so. I came in here for the first time, and it's just one of those cool landmarks in Louisville.
I'll tell you what we're looking at. Now, you said I don't have green on. Look at those.
Those shoes are green.
Those Crocs are as green as you can get. All right. The Irish Rover, I want to say this, and I want to put it properly, and I want to sound overly effusive or boastful, but the Irish Rover is a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's my way of life, and everybody that works here is their way of life. Every single time you come to the Irish Rover, when any of the lads meet you, the girls and the boys, they are welcoming you into their home, not just our home. It's their home. They take as much pride in working here as I do, providing a place for them to work. They're great people. They come here early when I want them. They stay here late when I want them. And here's the bloody postman. Jesus, do you have any shame, sir? I've threatened to kill him so many times. See you, laddie.
But all right.
The thing is, that's what it is. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's what I've done for 23 years. Actually, it's what I've done since I was born, because I was born to do this. But I had to get instructions and be pushed towards it. But I eventually arrived at it, and I liked it. I like talking to people, just as you like talking to people. I like finding out how I can make people connect, whether it's helping somebody has a house for sale down the road, or help someone that's selling a car, or someone that's looking for an apartment. This is where the trading post is. This is eBay, this is Google, this is everything, all smashed into one big ball of fun.
Okay. Well, I know it's a long story, but briefly, anybody that's listening can tell you're not from around here.
No.
How did you get from where you were born here to Louisville, Kentucky?
I lost a bit. How I got here? I suppose a question we all could ask one another. I arrived in New York City the 17th of August, 1984, flight 748. I was in seat 340K. I remember every single thing about that, coming into New York City and getting off that plane and feeling the heat of New York City. An oppressive August in New York City is unforgettable. But my brother was working in New York. He was working as a laborer on a building site, and he also attended bar. And he would come over in the summertime. He was a school teacher, a headmaster back at home in Ireland, actually. And he would come over here in the summertime, work his rear end off, and all the hours God could give him, and he'd go home and build a house. And the next summer, he'd come over and do the same thing again, and then he'd go home and finish that house, furnish it, and sell it. And he did that for a number of years. So the last year that he was here, I came out. He picked me up he picked me up at JFK. I remember thinking to myself, going up on the train, going back to the Bronx, I said to myself, Jesus, you know, I better say my prayers and go to mass, because, you know, if hell is half as hot as this, I don't have a chance. But the night that he was going back to Ireland, he was the boys, we brought him to the airport, and there was a sad goodbye for me, and the boys took me for a few drinks down to a place called what's the name, Flanagan's, mm-hmm. on 67th Street and 2nd Avenue. And I was having a couple of drinks there, and, you know, and then there was two women that had just come in, and they were at the jukebox, and I moved over, and I've been talking to one of them on and off for the last 30 years. I ended up marrying her.
Okay.
So she had just graduated. Her name was Siobhan Murner at that time. No, Siobhan Murner Reedy. She had just graduated from Smith College in Western Massachusetts, Northampton. And she was working at McGraw-Hill and Scribner in New York publishing houses. And we met and we started going out. And, you know, I came down here to visit Louisville, or Orland County specifically. I loved it down here. And I said to her, we're going to end up in Louisville, one way or another. No, she did not want to come down here because, you know, she didn't know anything about Kentucky. All she knew was her father and mother had moved here, and her two younger brothers and sisters. And she didn't know anything about this part of the world, only to visit. And she had no friends here. But, you know, that's one of the things about being able to talk to people is you don't... You're not old friends for very long, or acquaintances anyway. So I started off, we came down here, we got a Jeff Points, a well-known architect here in town. He had a house for rent, top house for rent, on Oak and Garvin in all Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
We got in contact with him, and we rented the top floor of his house. And I loved all Louisville. It was very, very different. Now, I'd lived all over New York City. I'd lived in Kew Gardens and Forest Hills and Fort Greene and Brooklyn and then the Northwest Bronx in Riverdale and right by the Deegan Park. And it was great, you know. But I never saw as much action in New York City until I came to Louisville.
Oh, really?
You were serenaded every night with gunshots.
That's the point.
Well, we do have that.
Another birthday party.
They got that in New York.
Well, it's where you go. But we enjoyed it. I worked with the Rudyard Kipling, Ken at the Rudyard Kipling at that time, and he was great fun, and we really enjoyed it. I worked at Billy Dee's in all Louisville.
Okay.
And then I started work. I got a job with, I suppose, the more formative education I got was I got a job at a place called Remington's. It's now at the site of the Olive Garden on Horsebourne Lane. But okay. Remington's was a tour de force in the culinary scene at that time. It was absolutely brilliant. People came from all over to eat Remington's. And I remember one gentleman, a couple of gentlemen and their wives, flew down from Chicago to Bowman Field to get a limo to go to Remington's to eat. Now, when someone does that for you, that means that you have arrived. Do not make too much noise, Walter. I'm doing a very important interview, and it centers on you. People I'd like to kill is the title of the piece. But that was the kind of place it was, and it was run by a man called Anoush Shariat. He owns Anoush Bistro.
I know Anoush very well.
He's about to open Anoush Nosh. My son is actually working for him. My daughter worked for him last summer, so you know he's not alone. Kept the restaurant scene going.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
He's hired all the ladies. So I worked there until Remington's sadly closed and was sold, and then I worked at a few other places. Then that was 1993. We opened Irish Rover. We bought it in August. I was at home, and my missus, she was at a Smith Club meeting here in the city, and she met a woman who was a real estate broker who also went to Smith,
mm-hmm.
and they knew each other vaguely. And Siobhan told her what we were looking for. We were looking for a building. And this woman told her about this building here. And sadly, the man that owned it, Jim Goodwin, is dead. God have mercy on him. He died tragically last year. And his wife died tragically the year before. And, you know, I met Jim, and my missus came and looked through the place. And then she called me the evening she came to look at it. And she says, I just bought a restaurant. I said, what are you doing? We didn't even talk about this. I said, what's your pay for it? She said, I paid $275,000 for it. Jesus, I said, why didn't you buy two? I'm sure there was another one down the road for sale. But
so what was it before? What was it?
It was another place sandwich shop.
Okay.
This, back in the old days, was Whitman's Grocery and Saloon. This was the exterior wall.
Okay.
This was This was an old house. This building was built in 1859.
Okay.
It was called Whitman's Grocery and Saloon. The grocery was here, the saloon was over there, and there was a whorehouse up top.
Okay.
So if things don't work out in the restaurant business, I know what I'm doing next.
Right. Plan B.
That would be Plan Triple X. But anyway.
That's a great story, and it's been, you know, this is a part of the neighborhood now, you said. So we got St. Patrick's Day coming up. How is that different here than other days?
Another day. Well, we have a tent out there. We get through about 3,000 or 4,000 people come through the place at from 11 o'clock in the morning to 11 at night. We have live music all day. We have a cooking tent outside, and we have a regular menu inside, and we just have fun. If you're not wanting to have fun, don't come here.
Okay.
Because this is only a fun zone. This is not a no fun zone.
Yeah.
So we work like we play. We work hard and we play hard, and that's how it is. We got beer trucks out there that have got the biggest selection of beers from all over the world, and we've got bangers and mash. We've got bangers and fries. We've got fish and chips. Got soup, stews.
You know, I'll tell you the story. When I came here the first time and I didn't know anything about Irish food, a guy said, well, you got to order Scotch eggs.
Yes.
And I tried it. I liked it.
I still have that same hint after 23 years. it's great fun. I mean, we have a good time with people. We interact the same way with people as we do with our staff.
Okay.
Our staff wants to be here, and so do our customers.
And it seems like this is the last question. We're running out of time here, but you know, the whole Irish heritage thing. It seems like there's plenty of places around town now that claim Irish heritage, but you're the original, right? Yes, I mean, when you started, there wasn't anything else.
No, there wasn't. The Shenanigans, you know, Neil Billerman was there, but you know, they do their thing. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not belittling what they're doing or anything. I know those people, they're great people, but that was probably the only one I think, and maybe Murphy's opposite JCC, on Broadway, but we've had, like I said, we've had a great time, we're looking forward to more great times. I don't want this to sound like an obituary, but this is great.
I'd say you're in your prime. It seems like this is a place just right here along Frankfort Avenue. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. We're maturing nicely.
Okay.
All we need to know is add more people.
There you go. Well, it's all fun, and Mike, I'll let you have the last word. You know, people want to come out and have fun on St. Patrick's Day. Yes. Is this the place to go?
This is the place to go. I have said this is the place to go. Look, there are 40 million people who claim Irish heritage, not just on St. Patrick's Day, but in the other 364 days as mm-hmm. well. And I want people coming in here, whether their background is Irish, English, Indian, I don't care what they are, who they are. If they've got a story to tell, I want to hear it.
That was a lot of fun down there with Michael Reedy. I think I'll go tonight and maybe have some bangers and mash down at the Irish Rover. Right there in Clifton. What a great entrepreneur and host Michael is. If you haven't been down there, you really should check it out. I first wrote about and learned about the Irish Rover. It was like in my first month on the job at Business First back in 1996, and I ended up doing a small business story on the Irish Rover, they've been thriving ever since, and I think they will continue to do so. So anyway, that's going on. I don't know whether or not you can get any Ballantine whiskey down there yet, but you should. I don't know if you go to LouisvilleKY.com, there's a number of great recipes for making drinks like a chocolate mint julep. It's Derby time. We might be time to mix it up a little bit. Try your mint julep with the chocolate, and you can find the recipe right there on LouisvilleKY.com. Ballantine is involved in a number of big events around town, and they're a sponsor of this show. So I'm very happy to be associated with Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. Ask for it by name at your favorite at the place where you buy your alcohol. All right, this part of the show is where I talk about some of the things that are getting my attention and the things that you, as a Louisvillian, are talking about in town. And right now, normally at this time of year, the only thing we're talking about is basketball. Basketball is on the minds and the brains of people all over the country. Louisville is the number one market for college basketball in terms of people who watch it on television, people who participate in bracket games and watch it on the internet, and the number of people who leave work early on Thursday and Friday to go watch basketball at home. But you know, this year there's a little bit of I myself am not as interested in what's going on in the tournament, in part because Louisville is not in it. Not only is Louisville not in it, Western's not in it. I don't think Eastern's in it. You know, there's not a lot of local interest. It'll be interesting to see if we still maintain that number one ranking with CBS for the number of people watching the games this weekend. I did see an ingenious idea, and I want to point it out to you if you haven't heard. Coach Jeff Walls of the Louisville women's team, they play on Friday afternoon at the Yum Center. And it's great to have a home game for the Lady Cards. I think they're a 3 or 4 seed in the tournament, and so they get to play at the Yum Center. You know, the men's tournament, it's so big they don't let any team play a home game. So it's a big deal. It's really great. And Jeff Walls has offered to, and I believe he will really do this. If you want to get out of work on Friday afternoon to go down to the Yum Center to watch them play, he will send an email to your boss asking if it's okay for you to go down there and watch the game and skip a few hours of work. So how about that? That's a pretty good marketing move by Coach Jeff Walls. I really need to get him on the show. He's a great personality in this city, and would like to do that. So I'll work on that. Maybe at the season's end, we'll get Coach Jeff Walls on the program. Of course, in basketball, and of course, this is the initial weekend where all the 64 teams play, and it narrows down to 32 by Sunday night. Next weekend, there is a regional final here in Louisville at the Yum Center. And we just found out that, you know, Kentucky is the team with a local rooting interest. Kentucky plays in Iowa this weekend. And should they be able to defeat Stony Brook, and then they have a big game with Indiana on Saturday. If they advance, they will not, unfortunately, come to Louisville. I don't know why the tournament the people who make the tournament brackets didn't set that up, but Kentucky will not be coming to the Yum Center to play virtual home games in the regionals. But we are likely to have the top seed is likely to be here is Kansas, and there are a lot of things. I did some work for 4th Street Live. There's a lot of things going on down at 4th Street in relation to this big tournament. It's a big deal for Louisville to host one of these. There's only four of them. You know, there's four regionals, and each one produces a Final Four team. So there will be a lot of excitement in town with the tournament because of that. Most people around here that I know are less interested because U of L, as you know, because of this sex scandal, is not involved in the tournament. They have basically the university decided to bow out and hope that the penalty for all the things that they've done wrong, and it's sounding like a lot of the evidence is coming out on that. It's not going to be good in terms of a report on ESPN last Sunday showed that basically they had sources that said that at least three players were treated to prostitutes while they were here on recruiting visits. And at least one of them, I think, ended up coming to U of L. It'd be interesting to see if we ever find out who that individual is. All right, well, let's move on to politics. And you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on politics because I'm kind of, you know, things are not going the way of, I guess you would say, a progressive thinker like me would like them to go here in Louisville, KY. The state senate, the state legislature is in session, and there's a lot of things going on in politics that are not going the way. I won't talk long about this, but certainly Donald Trump is going to be your Republican nominee for president, and that that's distressing. I had a big discussion with some folks recently about this, and I just have a hard time. I know there are Trump supporters out there around here, and I just have trouble identifying with the mindset of anyone who would support a guy that is so racist, is so angry and so prone to conflict and so prone to childish rants. I don't know. It's like on my Facebook, I see that I've got a handful of friends that are supporting Trump, and I don't respect their choice. Okay, they may be fine people, but I don't respect their choice. I had a long discussion about this yesterday, and we're just going to have to really be challenged as to our interactions with other people. Let's face it, who's president may or may not actually affect your life and my life in terms of what we do every day, but it does affect how our country is perceived. It affects how some of the laws of our country and some of the things that go on and this whole thing with Trump and Mexicans and that wall and all that. So anyway, enough about that. On the next level down in our federal government is the Senate. And, you know, our U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell, he's showing his true colors politically. President Obama this week nominated a guy named Merrick Garland to be the to replace Antonin Scalia, who passed away a month or so ago on the Supreme Court. And McConnell, in the worst of politics, is blocking the thing with the argument that the people should decide this thing. In other words, he wants the new president, who will be selected by the people, to make the choice of who this guy is. And he even said if Obama's choice is if that guy is selected by the next president, then they'd go ahead and have a hearing and probably approve him. But just because it's Obama, McConnell is threatening to block it. He's getting a lot of pressure from Democrats and a lot of other judicial groups. It is in the Constitution. It's a constitutional responsibility of the president to nominate his replacements on the Supreme Court. McConnell's just obstructing, just trying to keep that from happening. And I don't see how you really look at that in any way and say that's the right thing to do. So we'll see how that goes. And there, you know, my disappointment in politics continues. On the next level down in state government, listen to what the state has done this week. It's really distressing. The first story that came across just today, the state Senate is voting to require Louisville to switch from needs-based to one-for-one syringe exchange. Now, this is in a story in Insider Louisville from March 16th. And basically, that is Republicans in the state Senate. I guess they believe that the people who have a heroin problem are somehow making a profit or something along with syringes. And that, you know, here's the thing. If you read the story, and Dr. Sarah Moyer, who is on this show in the past, is quoted here, and she says that, you know, the way that the Louisville exchange has done it, which is not a one-to-one return system, but you can walk in and ask for new syringes. And Dr. Moore, these are public health leaders from throughout the country, has said that the way that the Louisville exchange is doing it is the right way to do it. But these bozo lawyer, not lawyers, these bozo senators, like the main one, Senator Damon Thayer of Georgetown, think they know more than public health experts, and they think that they can, you know, that they should change the way these syringes are distributed. And basically, it's thwarting efforts. There's a lot of efforts being made. The heroin problem is worse. I don't know if you heard on the news. I heard that in a 12-day period, 42 people were treated by public officials for heroin overdoses. And, you know, that was like 26 for all. There were 26 for all of February, and there were 42 like in the first week and a half in March. It's a very serious problem. And these Republicans standing, you know, doing the syringe, you know, passing legislation to restrict the syringe exchange, are doing nothing to help with the problem of heroin. Okay, so what else? The state's Senate also voted a bill that's being known as the License to Discriminate. They passed this bill in the Senate. It was fought very hard by the fairness people in Louisville. Chris Hartman, who's been on this show, I got several releases from him about this License to Discriminate bill, and it basically allows any business to discriminate against, like, interracial couples, interreligious couples, LGBT people, single mothers, any group, a business can now discriminate and say it's based on their religion. I kid you not. That is what the bill is about. And it says that if you own a business in Kentucky, you can discriminate against a group of people because of their sexual orientation or because you don't think that interracial couples should marry. You can just refuse to serve them. And that's in Kentucky right now, if you can believe it. So I'm getting a little bit on my high horse on that, but it's sort of an embarrassing thing. So anyway, that's what's going on in politics. The best thing to do is watch shows like Bill Maher and John Oliver and get some humor out of it anyway, or The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I've been watching that a little bit lately. There's a lot of great stuff on TV. I don't know if you're thinking about this. I am so close to canceling my regular television because, you know, at some point in the future, television is going to be on the internet. And, you know, you're still going to have to pay for it, most likely. You have to have an HBO subscription or you have to pay for it in some way. But I would be worried if I was a stockholder in a dish company that things change in technology and the way we watch TV is changing and the way I watch TV is changing. But boy, I've been having a good time. I watch a lot of stuff on Netflix and there's a lot of high quality programming available out there if you want to go out and seek out and find it. And, it makes it really hard to watch commercial TV. So we'll see. Like the one thing, and this is the last thing I'll talk about before we get into Mindy Peterson is, weather. People are so fascinated by weather. The other night, Wave had a whole event where people flocked there just to ask weather questions to Kevin Harnett and the group. And Kevin's been on the show. I like him a lot. He's taken advantage of something that, I just never anticipated. My idea of checking out the weather is to open a window and look outside. But people are so fascinated with severe weather these days. It amazes me. It really amazes me. So anyway, enough of that. Let's get on with Mindy Peterson. I have sort of been for friends of mine who talk with me, I've certainly been a critic of the bridges and a critic of the idea of tolls, and which leads me to be a critic of the idea of like going to Indiana. And as you'll hear in this interview with Mindy Peterson, I'm planning my last trip to Indiana the first day that I have to pay a toll to get over there. Just kidding. I don't really hate the place. I just don't see. I'm not falling in line, I guess, with the conventional thinking on the tolls in Indiana. These bridges are going to be great, especially the one in the East End. It's going to cut down on commute time for a lot of folks. And so I think that's a really good thing in the economic benefits of our community are going to be widespread and great. And how they're going to institute these tolls and everything. I had a long list of questions for Mindy, and Mindy, of course, is a former WHAS radio news person, and she went to Western just like me, and we just have a lot in common, a lot to talk about for somebody that's telling people about unpleasant things like you're going to have to pay tolls. She's a great spokesman for that. So anyway, here's my interview with Mindy Peterson.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, Mindy Peterson, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
I'll tell you, you're like the bad lady because, all I hear from you is about how I'm going to have to pay tolls.
I have become the tolling lady, I think, once upon a time, and I think I still wear this hat very much. I was the bridge lady, and it's gone from the bridge lady to the toll lady, and I can tell you people like the bridge lady a little bit better than the toll lady.
I bet they do. Well, let's talk a little bit about you. Where I met you was over at the J-Town Little League, but I know you've been in radio, and then you ended up here, right?
I have been in Louisville for a long, long time now. History is, let's go back a little bit. Well, it's more than a little bit. We'll go back. I received
We're not that old.
I appreciate that. I like you better, Rick. Received my degree in broadcasting from Western, cool. Minor in political science, and I was finishing up at Western. And at the time, Brian Rublin was at WHAS yep. Radio. He was the news director, fantastic guy. And I received just a 1 gig a week, 1 shift a week during my senior year. This was October. And I would drive up here from Bowling Green every Sunday. It was 3 in the afternoon until 11:30 in the evening. And I would anchor news for that Sunday shift. And that started in October of my senior year. In January of my senior year, Brian gave me a call. And he said, "Hey, Mindy, I have a full-time job opening." And I said, "Oh, that's great. I have another semester of school yet." And he's like, "Mindy, I have a full-time job opening." And I'm like, "Oh, that sounds pretty great." And so I wound up moving here my senior year. Started at WHAS Radio, where I stayed for a long time, nearly 20 years.
Okay, so we must see, this will make you feel better, because I know you're younger, because I was running around on the WKU campus and graduated in 82.
Uh-huh. So, yes, you have a few years. I did come after. You have a few years on me.
Well, as long as you stayed away from the Pike House. You had a great time at Western. So, now, I understand you're running around town talking to people about this toll thing.
We're talking a lot about Riverlink. I think that people still have a hard time getting it. What is Riverlink? Is Riverlink a company? Is it a company making money from tolling? What is Riverlink? So to clear that up, Riverlink is the brand of our all-electronic tolling system. So it's very much like if you're in Florida and you see the signage and you know the SunPass. SunPass is in Florida. Mm-hmm. Peach Pass is in Georgia. It's something that gives the area unique identity, identifies. So we have our own unique brand, which is Riverlink, and that was very intentional. There was a long process to come up with that brand, and it defines the region. You know, the river is what unites us, Southern Indiana and Louisville, and with this project, we're being united like never before.
Okay. Well, you say united, but, you know, I've sort of made a decision. As soon as the tolls start, I'm never going to Indiana again. How
you know
that?
What? I don't believe you, because I've talked to some folks, and I don't think people realize how easy it is and that it's not going to be a huge, huge expense. It's very easy to look at that toll chart that we've all seen that it has the rates spelled out, and it's easy to get sticker shock. And there are a couple of reasons why. One, we haven't had a tolled bridge in Louisville since 1946, and that's when tolls came off of the Clark Memorial.
Okay.
That's 70 years.
Okay.
It's been a little while. And the other thing is, I think we're used to tolling of yesteryear, when we would roll down the window and the kids may say, "I want to throw the coins this time." And, you know, you'd throw in 50 cents, you'd throw in 75 cents, and you'd keep going.
To go back.
That's right. It's different tolling today. Tolling is what is making these big mega projects possible. So we're not tolling because we get a kick out of tolling. We're tolling because this project, one that has been talked about for decades and decades with the Ohio River Bridges Project, it's not feasible from a financial standpoint without buy-in from the community. So that's where tolling comes in. And I've heard people say, "I will not cross again." First of all, you can cross and you don't have to pay a toll. We have toll-free options. Clark Memorial Bridge, Sherman Minton Bridge, you can cross as many times as you want. You're not going to pay a toll. Those are toll-free. So you have some options there.
Okay.
TARC is also exempt from paying tolls.
But you know, with those two free bridges,
right.
I mean, there must be studies. Has anybody said, those studies are just going to be, there's going to be a lot of traffic on there and no traffic on 65?
The studies tell us that there's going to be a little bit of diversion, and there's going to be some amount of traffic, not as high as you would think. Some traffic that's going to go over and use the Clark, and some traffic that's going to go over to the Sherman Minton. And then it's not going to take too long before people look over and they say, "Wow, those cars on 65 are moving now," because it's such a different system than what we have today. That's what's really important. It makes it a hard sell, Rick, when I'm talking about tolling and we're in the midst of construction, because we have been now for 3 years. We're in the middle of construction.
Yeah, it's a mess.
And so you don't think about it, but it gets so much better at the end of this, because you're pulling off East End. Those thousands of people that have been driving 8 miles plus to get downtown to cross the river, they're where they always should have been. You know, mm-hmm. You have the map. You see where the connection should have been for decades and decades. Why was the circuit never completed there? And those folks are over on the East End Bridge. utilizing that bridge, their life is so much better. So you've pulled thousands of people out of downtown Louisville. Not only that, you've doubled capacity because you have the Lincoln carrying 6 lanes northbound and Kennedy 6 lanes southbound, and you have traffic moving like never before. And then you have people sitting over there on Sherman Minton who went over there and said, I'm not going to pay a toll. And they're wasting gas, and they're wasting time, and they're idling, and they're like, oh, maybe I will pay my $2. You know, because time is worth something.
Okay, so, all right, so I suck it up and I just drive across there. What's that? If I don't get any of the stuff.
Yep, if you don't get any of the stuff, I'm going to tell you that you're making a bad decision. And I mean it, because if you don't get any of the stuff, and you're in a, I'm sure, passenger car, passenger vehicle of some sort, it's going to be $4. That's $4 one way. So you drive across. If you say, okay, I will go to Indiana today. You don't have anything. You don't have a transponder. You make the trip. We're going to send you a bill in the mail for $8 because you've made a round trip, $4 each way. If you just had the transponder, that's $4, half price, half the price for a round trip, $2 in each direction. And it doesn't take that much to get the transponder. It's an easy process.
What if you don't pay the bill?
If you don't pay the bill, that one will go. We'll send you another one. And this one's going to have a fee. We'll tell you how long you have, you know, you'll have whatever, how many, X number of days to pay the bill. If you don't, we're going to send another bill. It has a late fee on it. And it tells you, should have paid the bill first time. Now you're getting second notice and there's a fee on it. You get a third bill from us. There's going to be a little bit higher fee because every time we have to reach out, it's costing us money to reach out. If you don't pay the bill still, rolls around registration time for your car. And we're going to say, ooh, Rick, you're in a little bit of trouble here. Saw you use these nice new bridges, and you owe Riverlink some money, and you got to get right with Riverlink before you're able to renew your registration. So that's in Kentucky and Indiana only that we'll have hold-on card registrations. We are working with reciprocity agreements with states throughout the nation because we want to hold people accountable. We don't want to have local residents paying to use the bridges and then have people from out of town coming across and using the bridges and not paying. So we are working on those agreements as we speak.
Okay. So your best bet is to have like an Alaska license plate or something. Now, I heard that you that some guy was trying to devise a device that would like just for the time you're going over the bridge, hide your license plate, and then you put it back on, and then
you know what? I cannot imagine how that device would work or what it would look like. What I do know is this: all electronic tolling is new for us. It's not new; it's been around for 20 years plus. And this is a system that is working elsewhere, and it's a system that works for the reasons that we're going to see. You don't stop. You don't slow down. We're not. Right. If you do all of those things with traditional tolling, you're removing the benefits of your project, right? Because if you're slowing down traffic, if you have toll lanes, toll booths, all of that, you're not realizing the benefits of this great transportation system because everybody's stopping to pay their tolls.
Right.
So there are benefits
which
of all
still
the electronic tolls.
Like recently in Chicago, you know, you still got a place you got to stop. And
there are no toll lanes here. Even if you have out-of-towners, that's when we send in bills. It's all electronic tolling, no toll booths at all. So we keep traffic moving. So that's the good news. The other thing is, and I promise this is true, I've talked to people for a long time. We've had a number of open houses. We're getting ready. We're having 12 over 2 months, six last month in Kentucky, six in Indiana in March, hearing from a lot of people. And a lot of people start shaking their heads, and they're not happy. And we talk through the issues. And I'm not saying that everybody leaves happy because it's hard to get, you know, happy about tolling. And I get that. But they do leave with a much better understanding. And I've had people look me in the eye and say, that doesn't sound too bad. That's not too hard, and I promise that they have.
Okay.
So,
well, I believe you because I haven't been one of those meetings and all that. I, you know, but okay. So I'm planning my last ever trip to Indiana. When do the tolls start?
We don't have a date, but it's going to be late this year. Tolls will start when we have increased capacity. What does that mean? That means either 6 lanes southbound on the Kennedy and 6 lanes on its neighbor northbound on the Lincoln. Everybody moving as they should be in downtown. Or, if the Kennedy is not complete, the East End Bridge is complete, and you have that traffic there. So it's either or. Either the East End is done or improved. Kennedy is ready. They both should happen around the same time, late this year. So that's when tolling is expected to start.
Okay. Boy, it seems like the new Lincoln Bridge just, like, came at us all of a sudden. I mean, didn't they?
It was pretty fast and furious. It was a really neat process to be a part of. I was lucky enough to get on board with the project right before the groundbreaking, and it was fascinating to watch that unfold. I feel like I had the best seat, and I got to talk to some really fantastic people who were building this bridge. I got to go out, play around on it a little bit, take some photos, see what was happening, and I never knew that building a bridge could be that fascinating. Really, really neat stuff to watch.
Wow. And so all this is more fun than reading the news on WHK?
You know what? I miss the people still. I don't know that I missed the job. I think it was time for it was time for the next chapter. So no regrets. No regrets at all.
Well, very good. Well, so once you do all this work, you get this established, then what happens? I mean,
what happens? Does Mindy go away?
Yeah, your job's over.
I can't be the bridge lady. I can't be the toll lady. There is life after bridges and after tolling. I actually work for a PR and marketing company called C2 Strategic, and so that company lives on, and I will continue working at C2 Strategic. I'll work with different clients.
Okay.
So there is life after bridges and tolling.
Okay. There's PR.
That's
what goes. And
I'm on the other side of the microphone. I spent a long time on one side, and now I'm on the other.
Well, there you
and
go.
And it's been a good transition. You know, we know a lot of people have made this jump in our industry, right?
Nobody's still in media.
Right. Yes, fewer and fewer friends. Because
well,
more
I'm
and
still
more
out
of
here
that.
Doing my little show, and,
right.
and it's fun. And it's fun to be able to do it when it's your thing,
right?
Yes, more so. So
absolutely.
So this seems like fun, and you know we can always get back to Western every year, and
that's right. Visit the hill, see what's going on.
There you
yeah.
go. That's a
wave
that's
a red towel a bit.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you again. I've learned a little bit about the toll things.
It's right.
I'll still. Reluctantly go over there, and I will grumble. I'm one of those people.
You can grumble, and I'll tell you very quickly, Rick, because this is the other thing that surprises people. $20, okay? That's the minimum to set up your account, $20. What that gets you, that can be a mom, dad, two teenagers, everybody in the house. If you tell me we only go across once a month, once every 2 months, do you want to pay $8 when you go around full trip, or do you want to pay $4? You want to pay $4. $20, one account, up to 4 vehicles. We'll send you a free local transponder for every car. That's
okay.
what people like to hear at the open houses. They don't get that. And that $20 is not for those transponders. They're free. That's for your prepaid account. Every time you cross, it'd be $2 then.
So where do you get the transponders?
That's a great question. Transponders will be available the middle of this year. You have two choices. There's a free one, which is the local one, good for our local bridges. It's a Riverlink local transponder. A little sticker goes on your window. You can go online, secure website. You can set up your account, put your $20 in. These are my 4 cars. This is the plate number, make, model. We have all of your information. Give me 4 of the free ones. We'll send them right to your house. You'll be ready to go late this year when we start tolling.
Okay.
Or you can buy an Easy Pass, a Riverlink Easy Pass, which is $15. You can use that in any of the 16.
So you can get it in the mail.
You'll get it in the mail. So yes, you can call customer service. If you want, you can go to a customer service center. I don't know why a lot of folks would want it, unless they truly, you know, some people like the face-to-face. Some people only deal in cash. So there is an option. There will be a customer service center in Jeffersonville and one on this side of the river in Louisville, right across from Slugger Field is the location.
Okay. All right.
So there are options.
Well, that sounds good. All right, Mindy, I'm going to let you go, but thank you for educating me on the bridges.
Uh-huh.
And
don't call me anything worse than toll lady. Toll lady is fine. Nothing worse than that, please.
I'll join with a lot of people grumbling about this, but it's inevitable, I guess. And
it's part of progress. Check this region out in 5 years and what has happened 5 years down the road because of this project. I think it's going to be pretty impressive.
Okay, that's it for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. I hope you enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Go out to the Irish Rover. Enjoy some bangers and mash, some green beer, all that stuff. There's going to be a lot of people out. The weather is great for now. It's going to turn bad over the weekend when you want to go inside and maybe watch some college basketball or something like that. I really appreciate my guest, Michael Reedy, for coming on the show, and to Mindy Peterson to tell us all we need to know about the upcoming tolls on bridges. That's going to be a big game changer in this community, I think. How does this show get put together? My great friend Dan Vonderhyde puts it all together. I get some help from I get some help from Jackie Bentley, who writes stuff for LouisvilleKY.com, and from Jason Smith, who's my tech guy. And I didn't tell you. I'll just tell you real quickly. Jason got me tickets to The Who last week in the Yum Center, and it was a great, great, great show. Those guys are old, but still they have all these hits, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to go to the Yum Center and see The Who. And I've got Jason Smith to thank for that. So that was great. Also, of course, I want to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan, Eye Care Institute, and Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. Those guys help make this show possible and keep it going. I really appreciate them. You can see their ads on LouisvilleKY.com, my website, and the RustySatelliteShow.com. site. So until next week, we'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is Rick Redding, your host, signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.